Almighty, yet considerate. Theme text. Jehovah well knows how we are formed, remembering that we are dust. Psalm 103:14. Songs 30 and 10. What can we learn from the considerate way that Jehovah helped young Samuel, commissioned Moses to lead Israel, led Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea? Paragraphs 1 and 2, question A. In contrast with powerful humans, how does Jehovah treat people? Question B. What will we consider in this article? Powerful and influential people often lord it over others, even dominating them. Matthew 20:25. What a contrast with Jehovah. Even though he is the Almighty, he is most considerate of imperfect humans. He is kind and thoughtful. He shows regard for our feelings and is attentive to our needs. Remembering that we are dust, he never asks more of us than we can give. Psalm 103:13-14. The Bible provides many examples of the considerate way in which Jehovah deals with his servants. Let us focus on three. First, the thoughtful way that God helped young Samuel to deliver a judgment message to High Priest Eli. Second, the patient manner in which Jehovah handled Moses' objections to serving as leader of the Israelites. And third, the considerate way that God led the Israelites out of Egypt. As we reflect on these examples, let us note what they teach us about Jehovah and see lessons we can apply. Fatherly consideration for a boy. Paragraph 3, question. What unusual thing happened to young Samuel one night, and what question does this raise? Samuel began ministering to Jehovah at the tabernacle at a very early age. 1 Samuel 3:1. One night after Samuel had retired, something most unusual happened. The footnote reads, Jewish historian Josephus says that Samuel was 12 years old at the time. End of footnote. 1 Samuel 3:2-10 reads, One day Eli was lying down in his usual place, and his eyes had grown dim. He was not able to see. The lamp of God had not yet been extinguished, and Samuel was lying in the temple of Jehovah where the ark of God was. Jehovah then called Samuel. He answered, Here I am. He ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. Jehovah called once again, Samuel. At this Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel had not yet come to know Jehovah, and the word of Jehovah had not yet been revealed to him. So Jehovah called again, a third time, Samuel. At that he got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Eli then realized that it was Jehovah who was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you should say, Speak, Jehovah, for your servant is listening. And Samuel went and lay down in his place. Jehovah came and stood there, and he called as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. At this Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. He heard a voice call him by name. Thinking that it was the voice of the aged high priest Eli, Samuel obediently ran to him and said, Here I am, for you called me. Eli denied doing so. When the same thing happened two more times, Eli realized that it was God who was calling Samuel. So he told the boy how to respond, and Samuel obeyed. Why did Jehovah, by means of his angel, not reveal himself to Samuel on the first occasion? The Bible does not say, but the way events unfolded suggests that consideration for young Samuel was an important factor. How so? Paragraphs 4 and 5. Question A. How did Samuel respond to the assignment God gave him, and how did things work out the following morning? Question B. What does the account teach us about Jehovah? 1 Samuel 3:11 through 18 reads, Jehovah said to Samuel, Look, I am doing something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears about it tingle. On that day I will carry out toward Eli all that I said about his house, from start to finish. You must tell him that I am bringing a lasting judgment on his house for the error that he has known about, for his sons are cursing God, but he has not rebuked them. That is why I have sworn to the house of Eli that the error of the house of Eli will never be atoned for by sacrifices or by offerings. Samuel lay down until the morning. Then he opened the doors of Jehovah's house. Samuel was afraid to tell Eli of the vision. But Eli called for Samuel. Samuel, my son! At this he said, Here I am. He asked, What message did he speak to you? Please, do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and add to it if you hide from me a single word of all that he said to you. So Samuel told him everything, and he did not hide anything from him. Eli said, It is Jehovah. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Jehovah's law commanded children to respect the aged, especially a chieftain. Can you imagine Samuel going up to Eli in the morning and boldly telling him God's stinging judgment message? Of course not. Indeed, the account tells us that Samuel was afraid to tell Eli of the vision. However, God made clear to Eli that he was calling Samuel. As a result, Eli took charge of the situation and told Samuel to speak. Do not hide from me a single word of all that he said to you, Eli commanded. Samuel obediently told him everything. Samuel's message would not have been a complete surprise to Eli. It harmonized with that of an unnamed man of God who had earlier spoken to the high priest, 1 Samuel 2:27 through 36. The account involving Samuel and Eli shows us how considerate and wise Jehovah is. Paragraph 6, question. What lessons can we learn from the way God helped young Samuel? Are you a young person? If so, the account about young Samuel shows that Jehovah understands the challenges you face and how you feel. Perhaps you are shy and find it hard to share the kingdom message with adults or to stand out as different among your peers. Be assured that Jehovah wants to help you. So pour out your heart to him in prayer. Reflect on Bible examples of such young ones as Samuel. And talk with fellow Christians, young or old, who may have overcome challenges like those you are facing. Indeed, they may tell you about times when Jehovah came to their aid, perhaps in ways that they had not expected. Consideration for Moses. Paragraph 7 and 8, question. How did Jehovah show extraordinary consideration for Moses? When Moses was 80 years old, Jehovah gave him a daunting assignment. Moses was to deliver Israel from bondage in Egypt. Having served as a shepherd in Midian for 40 years, he was evidently shocked to receive this call. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" he said. God reassured Moses, "I will prove to be with you." Exodus 3:11 and 12. He also promised, "The elders of Israel will certainly listen to your voice." Even so, Moses replied, "Suppose they do not listen." Exodus 3:18 and 4:1. In effect, Moses contradicted God. But Jehovah remained patient. In fact, he went even further. He empowered Moses to perform miracles, making him the first human on record to have such power. Moses still tried to excuse himself, claiming to be a poor speaker. In response, God said, "I will be with you as you speak, and I will teach you what you should say." Was Moses at last won over? Evidently not, for he meekly asked God to send someone else. At that, Jehovah rightly became angry. But he was not unyielding. Rather, as yet another gesture of consideration for Moses' feelings, God appointed Aaron as spokesman for Moses. Exodus 4:10 through 16. Paragraph 9, question. How did Jehovah's patience and considerate manner help Moses in his assignment? What does this account teach us about Jehovah? As Almighty God, He could have frightened Moses into speedy submission. Instead, Jehovah was patient and kind, making an effort to reassure His modest and humble servant. Did this considerate approach work? Absolutely. Moses became an outstanding leader who tried to deal with others in the same mild and considerate way that Jehovah dealt with him. Paragraph 10, question. When we imitate Jehovah's considerate manner, how do we benefit? Lessons we can apply. Are you a husband, a parent, or a congregation elder? If so, you have a measure of authority. How important, then, that you imitate Jehovah by being considerate, kind, and patient when dealing with those under your care. When you strive to imitate Jehovah and the greater Moses, Jesus Christ, you will be both approachable and refreshing to others. You will also set an example worthy of imitation. A fear-inspiring but considerate Savior. Paragraphs 11 and 12. Question. As Jehovah led the Israelites out of Egypt, how did He make them feel safe and secure? When the Israelites left Egypt in 1513 BCE, they may have numbered more than 3 million. Spanning 3 or even 4 generations, there were children, elderly ones, and no doubt some who were infirm or disabled. To lead such a vast crowd out of Egypt certainly called for an understanding and thoughtful leader. Jehovah, by means of Moses, proved to be such. As a result, the Israelites felt safe as they left the only home they had ever known. How did Jehovah make His people feel safe and secure? For one thing, He led them out of Egypt in well-organized battle formation. Such organization surely reassured the Israelites that their God was in control. Also, Jehovah made His presence visibly manifest by means of a cloud by day and the light of a fire at night. Psalm 78:14. In effect, Jehovah was saying, "Do not be afraid. I am with you to guide and protect you." Indeed, such reassurance was soon needed. Paragraphs 13 and 14. Question A. What considerate things did Jehovah do for the Israelites at the Red Sea? Question B. How did Jehovah show His power over the Egyptians? Exodus 14:19 through 22 reads, "Then the angel of the true God who was going ahead of the camp of Israel departed and went to their rear, and the pillar of cloud that was in front of them moved to the rear and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. On the one side it was a dark cloud. On the other side it was lighting up the night. So the one camp did not come near the other camp all night long. Moses now stretched out his hand over the sea, and Jehovah drove the sea back with a strong east wind all night long, turning the sea basin into dry ground, and the waters divided. So the Israelites went through the midst of the sea on dry ground, while the waters formed a wall on their right hand and on their left." Picture yourself there, trapped between Pharaoh's forces and the Red Sea. Then God acts. The pillar of cloud moves to the rear of the camp, blocking the Egyptians and keeping them in darkness. Your vast camp, however, is bathed in miraculous light. Then you see Moses stretch out his hand over the sea, and a strong east wind opens a wide path to the other side. In an orderly manner, you, your family, and your domestic animals walk out onto the seabed with the rest of the people. Immediately, you notice something odd. The seabed is not miry or frozen. It is dry and quite firm, making it easy to walk. As a result, even the slowest ones cross safely to the other side. Exodus 14:23 reads, "The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses, his war chariots, and his cavalrymen began going after them into the midst of the sea." Verses 26 through 30 read, Then Jehovah said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, their war chariots, and their cavalrymen. Moses at once stretched out his hand over the sea, and as morning approached, the sea returned to its normal condition. As the Egyptians fled from it, Jehovah shook the Egyptians off into the midst of the sea. The returning waters covered the war chariots and the cavalrymen and all of Pharaoh's army who had gone into the sea after them. Not so much as one among them was allowed to survive. But the Israelites walked on dry ground in the midst of the seabed, and the waters formed a wall on their right hand and on their left. Thus Jehovah saved Israel on that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. In the meantime, proud and foolish Pharaoh rushes out onto the seabed in hot pursuit. Again, Moses stretches out his hand over the sea. This time, the two congealed walls of water collapse. The sea rushes in from both sides, like two tsunamis on a collision course. Pharaoh and his hordes do not stand a chance. Paragraph 15. Question. What does this account teach you about Jehovah? We see from this account that Jehovah is a God of order, a quality that helps us to feel safe and secure. Jehovah also shows himself to be a loving shepherd who cares for his people in practical ways. He tenderly embraces them, protecting them from their enemies. How reassuring these truths are to us as we face the end of the present system of things. Paragraph 16. Question. How can we benefit from reviewing the way that Jehovah delivered the Israelites? Today, too, Jehovah cares for his people as a group, spiritually and physically. He will continue to do so during the fast approaching Great Tribulation. Hence, whether young or old, sound in body or disabled, God's people will not panic or cower in fear during the tribulation. The footnote reads, It is reasonable to conclude that some Armageddon survivors will be disabled. When on earth, Jesus cured people with every sort of infirmity, thus giving us a preview of what he will do, not for resurrected ones, but for Armageddon survivors. Matthew 9:35. Resurrected ones will no doubt have whole, sound bodies. End of footnote. In fact, they will do the very opposite. They will bear in mind these words of Jesus Christ, Stand up straight and lift up your heads, because your deliverance is getting near. Luke 21:28. They will maintain that confidence, even in the face of the attack by Gog, a coalition of nations that will wield far more power than did ancient Pharaoh. Why will God's people remain confident? They know that Jehovah does not change. He will again prove to be a caring and considerate Savior. Paragraph 17. Question A. How can we benefit from Bible accounts about the way that Jehovah cares for his people? Question B. What will we consider in the next article? The examples in this article are just some of many that illustrate the kind and thoughtful way that Jehovah cares for, directs, and delivers his people. As you meditate on such accounts, take note of details that reveal even subtle aspects of Jehovah's qualities. Doing so will impress those beautiful qualities more deeply on your mind and heart, strengthening your love for God and your faith in him. The next article will look at ways that we can imitate Jehovah in showing consideration for others. We will focus on the family, the Christian congregation, and the field ministry. End of article.